Good morning and welcome to worship, brothers, sisters, siblings in Christ, as we gather on what is an exquisite spring morning in Northwest Vermont. We went for a walk yesterday at Indian Brook Park, and everything is looking like resurrection today.
So many trilliums. If you want to see hundreds of trilliums, go to Indian Brook right now.
Red and white. There were trout lilies, and Barb, who can hear these things because she's not wearing, doesn't wear hearing aids. A robin at 10 minutes to five this morning.
Yeah, the birds are all out.
And we can hear the cardinals right now. It is beautiful. But we also woke up to headlines all week long, even in the midst of all the new life we hear. Mm-hmm. That we still live in a world where people are hurt, people in power abuse others, folks are told they don't count because of who they are or whose they are or what they look like. And our scripture readings today are going to be about how it is that we struggle in a world that is both a resurrection world and a world where power still corrupts. And we want you to wrestle with us on that. I heard an amazing piece of text from Marie Howe this week, and I put that at the top of the bulletin. I had to rewrite everything on Saturday. This might be the most difficult task for us in postmodern life, not to look away from what is actually happening, to put the iPod and the email and the phone down, to look long enough so that we can look through it like a window. And our lesson from the scriptures today is that we can look through it like a window and see the love of God on the other side. So I welcome you to worship. My name is Mitchell Hay, and I'm the Essex Center United Methodist Church's pastor for another several weeks.
And I'm Barb Lemmel. I'm married to Mitch and also part of the Essex Center United Methodist Church. And it's lovely to be with you all this morning.
You may have received a bulletin by email or is put up on our website right now by Jeremy.
And on the Facebook page.
On the Facebook page. In there are opportunities for service, for fellowship, and for giving. And there is a giving button right there. If you would like to help donate to the church this week, please do.
So as we come together this morning, let's join in our call to worship. And if you don't have it in front of you, I invite you just to sit back and listen and bring your spirit along with ours before God today. It's a prayer. Mothering God,
may your love be the center of our lives. Fathering God,
heal the hurts and wounds, the scars that form within and without. Atoning God,
may we know forgiveness and being forgiven. Liberating God,
free our hearts and minds, our faith and our thought. Restoring God,
rebuild what is broken, make us whole.
God beyond all names,
we come in worship. Our opening to God time comes from Steve Garness Holmes. And it's about meeting fear with love, very much our theme in scripture today. So I invite you to really become present wherever you are. If you are in a chair, maybe put your feet down square on the floor. Feel the ground pushing back up against you. Take a deep breath in. And let it out. Breathe in as though it is the very Spirit of God filling your lungs, filling your chest, filling your soul. Breathe out all sin, brokenness, fear, confusion, all that separates us from God. Breathe in the Spirit. Breathe out fear. Breathe in love. Breathe out all that separates. Be fully present. And hear these words as though they are your own. O loving God, we bathe in the river of your love. It washes away all fear of being judged, inadequate, or punished. We let your river flow through us, not our love, but yours, flowing to all the world, even the unlovable. In your love, we are not afraid to love, to risk, to be carried away by the river. In love, we will coerce no one or make them afraid, but only set them free. Give us wisdom to notice when we are afraid and to choose love instead. In your perfect love, we are not afraid. We are grateful. We are free. Amen. In the midst of that prayer, I changed the first person singular to plural and did not get all the verbs corrected. I apologize for that. We am sorry. We do not have a young people's message today at the end of vacation, but the Sturgeons will be back next week and we will enjoy their wisdom. But we do have a chance now to listen to God's word in the scriptures read. Our first reading is from an epistle, that's a fancy name for a letter, from John. And Lori Kleindienst will read that.
1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is a child of God and has knowledge of God. Those who do not love have known nothing of God, for God is love. God's love was revealed in our midst in this way, by sending the only begotten into the world, that we might have faith through the anointed one. Love then consists of this, not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us and has sent the only begotten to be an offering for our sins. Beloved, if God has loved us so, we must have the same love for one another. No one has ever seen God. Yet if we love one another, God dwells within us, and God's love is brought to perfection in us.
Good morning. This is from Acts 8:26-40. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his descendants? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Lori, for reading those for us this morning. And I want to share again the piece of poem from Marie Howe that Mitch started us out with this morning, just so that you have it in your frame of reference as we continue with this message. She writes, "This might be the most difficult task for us in postmodern life, not to look away from what is actually happening, to put down the iPod and the email and the phone, to look long enough so that we can look through it like a window."
So I hope we might gain a window's glance into our story today.
We're hoping that we can look through the story like a window. Yeah.
We call the story Philip and the Ethiopian Eunuch. And I think even the name of the story shows something of our fear or how we define people. We call Philip because that's his name. Or as his Greek name translates, he was especially fond of horses. We don't know. But the Ethiopian eunuch, he is named by what makes him different, what makes him alien, threatening, even transgressive. The adjective Ethiopian is about where he's from. But from a Jewish point of view in the first century, that meant away, that meant stranger, that meant other. He's defined by what he doesn't have. He's a eunuch. He's been castrated. He is defined by what isn't there. He is foreign. He is black. He is of ambiguous sexuality. He is a walking, or in this case, riding transgression.
A problem.
He's a problem.
From the point of view of the scripture writers. But at home, he wasn't a problem. At home, he had all kinds of status.
Lots of status.
He was the treasurer of the queen. Mm-hmm. Because he was a eunuch and couldn't have descendants, he was trusted around the queen, and he was trusted with her treasury because he couldn't have any descendants to make a claim on her money. And so he had all kinds of royal status and had come to Jerusalem to do her business there in Jerusalem. And somehow, in the midst of being in Jerusalem, mm-hmm. he also went to the temple. He was clearly someone who yearned to know more about God, who wanted to understand or participate in the Jewish practice of faith. And yet, even though he had all kinds of status back home, mm-hmm. when he got to the temple, he wasn't allowed in. He wasn't a Jewish male. He was a eunuch. He was from Ethiopia. And so he went from high royal status to not good enough to enter the temple. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
He may have been Jewish. There were Jewish communities in Ethiopia. Tradition says that one of King Solomon's wives, the Queen of Sheba, came back at Solomon's death and created a religious center for studying and worshiping in the Jewish tradition. And so he may have been Jewish, but even so, what was on the minds of the guards or the temple authorities would have been who isn't good enough to get in. And the thing that would have come to their mind when they see a eunuch coming in was, quick, Deuteronomy 23:1, which says, no one whose testicles are crushed or whose penis is cut off shall be admitted to the assembly of the Lord.
This is the not PG version of the Bible. It really does say this.
I'm not voluntarily reading it like that. He's not allowed in. There's a rule. It's right here. It's in black and white. It's in the scrolls. The religious authorities reject him. But we also know that the eunuch does not reject the God of Israel just because he is rejected from being allowed in.
Well, and it says that in the Deuteronomy scroll, but he buys a different scroll,
right,
another piece of the scriptures from Isaiah.
And we know which scroll he buys because and they were expensive. They were all hand done. So
yeah, he was the head of the treasury.
He was the head of the treasury. He had plenty. It was chump change. But we know what scroll he gets because he is confused by a reading that he asks Philip about in just a little bit. But on that same scroll, where the suffering servant imagery of Isaiah 53 is also Isaiah 56. And he bought, now again, this is my own storytelling, my interpretation, but he buys Isaiah 56 because it's about him. It speaks to him. Listen to this. Do not let the foreigner joined to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
And so he had to read that and say, to the eunuchs who keep your Sabbath and pay attention to your covenant, that's me. Right? And so... though the official Jewish institution isn't honoring him when he shows up at the temple because they're paying attention to Deuteronomy, they're paying attention to the fact that he's other. In another piece of scripture, he finds out that God indeed honors him and names his condition, his sexuality, and says, I will give you something better than having sons and daughters, something that cannot be cut off.
I will give you an everlasting name. Which is ironic because we don't know his name.
That's right. We don't know his name. God does, right?
That's the sad part of the story for me. I'm also thinking about sad parts of our coming slowly into a time of post-COVID.
Slowly.
Slowly. We are getting vaccinated slowly. I mean, faster than we were, but we're getting vaccinated. But even as we are thinking about returning to normalcy in a good way, the headlines are blaring that we are returning to normalcy in some really, really terrible ways as well. We are seeing almost daily mass shootings. We are seeing so many bad things starting back up. The Washington Post has an article entitled, get this, will the pandemic make us nicer people? Probably not. And the article is about how we are moving from this time of communal care to rampant individualism is back up. We're turning back into regular Americans again.
Partly because folks have felt so compressed, many folk. And so there's a sense of, I am just busting out all over here. And so the concern of the Washington Post article was, yeah, this would be a time for us to really think about each other. But right now, that sense of I want to be me in ways that I haven't been allowed to in the last year is overtaking some of that better urge. And one of the things it can do is it can make us make other people other. Mm-hmm. I know my crowd and I know who I'm comfortable with. I'm really not all that interested in paying attention to folks who aren't part of that crowd.
And that's what the eunuch experienced.
Exactly.
2000 years ago.
And being othered is no fun, right? I think all of us at some point or another experience that in our lives and have developed strategies to deal with it. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Mitch and I have noticed, as do most folks in our profession, is that if you want to cut small talk short at a party, when someone asks me who I am, if I tell them I'm a pastor, not always, but often there's a pretty predictable response. Either they apologize for not going to church, wherever they're from, or they tell me all the reasons that church is a horrible institution and why I shouldn't be working for it. Or they stop talking and their eyes kind of go up and I can see them scrolling through everything they've said in the last 15 minutes to see if they've dropped any F-bombs in my presence, right? As soon as I say pastor, they don't look through the window of that to see me on the other side anymore. Mm-hmm. All they see is pastor. And this is so minor, right? Yeah. But this is in my life, this is a place where I get othered. And so I will confess that what I often say when someone in a social setting, when somebody asks me what I do for a living, I usually say, well, I sort of assess, right? Whether it's going to be an okay place. But mm-hmm. if it's not, I'll just say, I work for a nonprofit. And what's amazing to me is nobody ever asks me. No one has ever asked me what the nonprofit is. They just say, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And then they keep talking to me as me, right? That's my workaround with that othering. Mm-hmm. You have a harder story. That's a pretty light story.
That's a light story. This is, yeah. I was just thinking back back when we lived in Montpelier.
In the early 2000s.
In the early 2000s. Barb and I have a very dear friend who is transgendered. And she is tall and big and doesn't fit into anybody's traditional gender stereotype. Now, many of you know her. She is the ridiculously talented guitarist and composer and singer who has blessed many of our Good Fridays and Christmas Eve services with her amazing singing and playing and her family. But 21 or 22 years ago, I remember the first time I went for a walk with her to go to lunch in Montpelier. And all I remember from that walk is the stares. First at her, and the eyes would narrow, and then at me, and there'd be a scowl, and suddenly because I was with her, I realized I was being othered, and she was being othered. We were an other couple, a transgressive couple, and by the time we walked the four blocks to Julio's for lunch, I was withered, I was exhausted, and I asked her, how do you do this every day? And she just gave me this, welcome to my world, buddy, kind of
because
look.
Most of the time we're situationally othered, right? So that right. My example of a social setting, I can get around that, right? I can take off my pastor role if I need to, or just mm-hmm. not let it be known. Danielle can't do that.
No,
right? People of color can't do that. Folks in a wheelchair can't do that. So for folks for whom othering is part of their everyday experience, it comes at them 24/7 and it can be exhausting. It can literally, and sometimes is literally, deadly. That's one of the things that we've been wrestling with as a country and in our news these days.
Our epistle from John, 1 John, and our reading from the book of Acts gives us a radically different way of living, operating in the world. The Epistle of John tells us about the power of love in the world, that God is love. It's the simplest statement of existential reality of who God is love. And everyone who loves is a child of God. That is so profound. We have the opportunity to see reality as God sees it. That Marie Howe, looking through a situation like a window to truly see it, not as an opportunity to be scared, not as an opportunity to wonder about something, but simply to love in the midst of it. Can you imagine
approaching every situation like that? To wonder in a way of love, which is this is an interesting person or an interesting situation. How might I see where God is in this? Mm-hmm. Instead of wondering from a fear point of view,
right?
This makes me uncomfortable. It must not be good.
Yeah. Right? One is wonder. The other is just letting fear take over. I shouldn't have used that word wonder.
And what's interesting about this story from Acts is all of the characters in there operate out of a different place than the othering place of the institution.
Right.
So the Ethiopian, we think, probably doesn't get let into the temple. And yet he doesn't let that define him. Mm-hmm. He buys a scroll of the prophet Isaiah and reads it on his way home and is trying to figure out what is this telling me that God is like, really, right? Mm. He looks through all the crud that he's experienced and sees an opening to God on the other side.
And Philip does the same thing in his own way. Philip looks, as he is told he's following the Holy Spirit. He looks through all the crud that is there and possible. When the eunuch says, "What is to prevent me from being baptized?" Instead of looking at all those things that might be there in the way, he looks through all that to see the Holy Spirit operating. He looks through it like a window to see love on the other side.
Because what he wants to do is tell people about Jesus.
Right.
And that is so primary that he looks through everything else and just meets this eunuch where he is and explains the scripture as well as Jesus to him. And the third player in the story is the Holy Spirit, who also doesn't put up walls, puts in windows and opens them, I think.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is operating on the God is love. And so when there's the seeking Ethiopian eunuch reading the gospel or reading the book of Isaiah and wondering what it's about, the Holy Spirit says to Philip, "Get up there, talk to him." The Holy Spirit is trying to bring that love to sees through that window to the love that's on the other side.
I love how the book of Acts sees obedience not as adhering to a group of rules, but obeying what the Spirit says. And so that's actually literal. The Spirit says, "Philip, get up and go." And it says, "Philip got up and went."
Right.
It's like, boom. Yes. Yes, ma'am. The Spirit says, "Get thee."
And when they're having that conversation, the Ethiopian eunuch is so moved. A whole window is opened to him of God and who Jesus is that he exclaims, "What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" He wants to join this new way.
And again, Philip also is seeing through a window. When the eunuch asks him that,
"What is to prevent me from being
baptized? What is to prevent me from being baptized? Let me give you a list, Mr. Eunuch." Right. Holy cow, we got Deuteronomy 21 and we got... It's a good thing they weren't Methodists, because Philip would have had a book of discipline and opened up and listed all the paragraphs about why membership was not... You need to get a confirmation class and you need to...
It says right here in paragraph 2712.2.
Right. But instead, Philip chooses love.
Yeah.
And the eunuch chooses to say yes.
Right. They both choose new life.
They both choose love.
Yeah. A new life of love.
A resurrection life.
And so as we've pondered all of this past week, it's just becoming more and more apparent, and I'm sure we've said this before, that as we come to the end of this COVID time, We'll need to choose. We have to make a choice of how we're going to come out of this time. Mm. And absolutely, we want to rejoin the things that have been restricted over this past year. And yet, we'll need to make a conscious choice about how we do that. Because if we're not conscious about it, it's just in our animal. I hate to insult animals. Maybe it's just our human nature, right? Mm-hmm. To want to take care of what is mine, to want to ask, how is this going to give me the upper hand? Or how are these going to take care of my people? Or what is it about this that's scary? Or what's in this for me? It's automatic. It's natural. But as a friend of mine says, lots of things are natural. Pooping in your pants is natural, but we learn not to do it.
We don't do that anymore.
We choose not to do it. Mm-hmm. And so as we come out of this time, our prayer for ourselves and for all of this community, really for all the world, is that we don't use it as a time to close those windows back down, but instead mm-hmm. as a time to look through them, to see what God is up to love, to embody the love that we know in God in all of our interactions with other folks, even and maybe especially when they're new or they're different or there's something that we would have thought to be other. Mm.
We are called by the Holy Spirit to live in unity, to live together. We are called to live in communities that are our windows to God's love. That's what church is. We're not called to live in tribes. We're not called to live in clans. We are no longer cave people. We don't have to see someone else who looks different and go, oh, they're from another clan, another tribe. They're from those caves on the other side of the lake. But in an inclusive, loving, and beloved community.
Right. And it can feel really complicated. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is complicated. Some of the things that we need to take apart about our culture and our society are complicated. Sometimes I think we make it more complicated than we need to. I think sometimes choosing to look through that window with eyes of love and to look through that window for God's eyes of love can be really simple. So I want to share with you a piece of a poem from a writer named Maran Tirabassi describing her experience with her young grandson. She wrote, "I was sitting with my grandson so that the rest of the house could sleep. I watch and listen to him act out the small dramas in his Lego world. Today he has two little figures in blue with badges. And one says to the other, 'What shall we do today?' And the other one responds, 'Let's learn to be better police.'" And Maran Tirabassi reflects, "It is not little children who need to heed Jesus' words. They already are seeing through that window with love."
So let's, with the little children, learn how to be better humans, better embodiments of love, better examples of God in the world. We can learn from Philip to look through the situation as a window to what's really there. We can learn from the Ethiopian eunuch to look through a situation like a window and see love on the other side.
We can learn from Maran Tirabassi's grandson, right?
And most important, we can learn from the Holy Spirit. We can be open to the movement of the Holy Spirit to look through the windows of our lives and to see what is truly there. God's love, looking back, beckoning us to live, to love, to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We have a time of some music now from Catherine Parker, and we invite you, if you have a prayer request, to put it into the chat on the Facebook page, and we'll include those in our pastoral prayer afterwards. So enjoy Catherine's artistry this morning.
We also will be sharing communion today. Right. And we invite you during this musical interlude to get something that can be for you as bread and cup as we bless the elements in communion. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you. Beautiful visual and sound, as always. As we come in prayer today, we want to share with you another prayer by Marie Howe. And it's a prayer of her own experience of wanting to reach out to God and dealing with her own resistance in that. And so I'll be reading it in the first person. I invite you to hear it in the first person as well. And it's in the bulletin if it's something that you want to share, or if it's something you want to experience again later. So let's join into this conversation between Marie Howe and God. Every day I want to speak with you, and every day something more important calls for my attention: the drugstore, the beauty products, the luggage I need to buy for the trip. Even now, I can hardly sit here among the fallen piles of paper and clothing, the garbage trucks outside already screeching and banging. The mystics say you are as close as my own breath. Why do I flee from you? My days and nights pour through me like complaints and become a story I forgot to tell. Help me, even as I write these words, I am planning to rise from the chair as soon as I finish this sentence. Help us, God. Hear our yearning toward you. Forgive us our unyearning. And thank you that you yearn for us and meet us where we are. And in that meeting, we bring to you the prayers of our hearts, the prayers we sometimes speak aloud, the prayers that always live within us. And so I ask for prayer this morning for my colleague Cheryl, who with her brother had to make end of life decisions for her mother yesterday in Wisconsin. We pray as well for our country, for our world, for our town, for this church community as we seek to live into the future with wisdom and with grace, acknowledging and grieving our losses and changes, and welcoming your new ways of being.
We pray in the upcoming weeks as well for these good people of the Essex Center United Methodist Church and of Harvard Epworth United Methodist Church, for Barb and me, for the Hubbards, as we go through big changes, goodbyes and hellos, mourning and anticipation. We ask for strength and resilience as we go through the process of a pastoral reappointment.
We also offer up Pat's prayer for her friends who struggle with health issues, Steve and Anne and Peggy.
We pray with Sharon for her daughter, Caitlin, and her struggles, hoping she feels the love that Sharon has for her and love from others and love from you.
And in all of this, God, we give you thanks for Jesus' presence among us, for his teaching, for his healing, and for his giving us this prayer to offer back to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thinking about windows and how communion can be for us a window into God's heart and God's mind. Thinking how God's love embodied and fleshed in Christ and symbolized in bread and cup is able to open eyes. Mm-hmm. How your love is able to open up hearts and minds and lives to new ways of being, new possibilities. His new life, his resurrection. I love the word you use, God yearns. God yearns for us. And we see that yearning in these elements. Remembering that night long ago where Jesus gathered with his friends for the last time to lift up that bread.
And we invite you to lift yours up in your place as well.
To bless it and break it and offer it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me.
And how Jesus also took the cup. And again, we invite you to lift your own and offered up thanks to God for it. And then as he gave the cup to his friends, he said, drink of this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins, Mm-hmm. As often as you drink this, remember me.
And we ask that the same Holy Spirit that moved through Philip and the eunuch moves through us and through these gifts of bread and cup, making them be for us the body and blood of Christ, and making of us Christ's body for the world. Be with us, Holy Spirit. Let our own lives be windows through which people can see your love. Amen.
So we invite you to partake in your home with others, if there are others there, or alone in your home, but with us digitally.
As we're looking through the window of our laptops.
That's right.
Barb, this is the body of Christ broken for you and the blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. And Mitch, this is the blood of the body of Christ broken for you. And the blood of Christ, the cup of life. Join with me in prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for all the ways you feed us. Thank you that fed and made whole, you send us out to feed others. Sometimes literally, always with your love. May we be part of your kingdom that is becoming alive and real in this world. In your name, amen.
Amen. As those resurrection people, those kingdom people, we have some things happening this week. We're all invited this afternoon to go on a Sunday bicycle ride with Christine out at the causeway on Mallets Bay. We're meeting near the airport road, airport park. The details are in your bulletin. Please RSVP Christine if you would like to be a part of that. And next Saturday, Christine will be sponsoring a walk. Sponsoring, that sounds awful.
She's organizing.
Inviting people for a walk next week, and please RSVP that as well.
In Underhill at Mills River Park,
I think. I believe so.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, we will be gathering for our Bible study, looking at the subject, looking at Isaiah, the prophet mm-hmm. Isaiah, what good news looks like. And those Zoom links are on the Zoom link, and the link to the Bible study is in the bulletin. On Tuesday night, we'll be having an administrative board Zoom meeting. Invitations to all of those who are members of the administrative board have gone out, but everyone is invited. Those are open meetings, and everyone's invited to be a part. So the Zoom address is in your bulletin. Also beginning that day are the Pastor Mitch meetups. There's a doodle poll. If you would like to get together with me and other folk in a socially distant manner, either outdoors or in the fellowship hall, to be able to say hellos after a long COVID season and goodbyes as we all get ready to welcome the Hubbards to the congregation and are going away. There's Wednesday Teze gathering on May 5th. And next Sunday, if weather permits, we would like to have an outdoor worship service in the parking lot. And we will send out details this week about what that will look like. But here's the biggest thing is that we are going to have our regular 10 o'clock online worship service as we normally do. And so that parking lot service will be at 11 o'clock. And that'll give everything a chance to get warmer and for moms and dads to be able to get kids ready. And also when we're done, we invite you to bring a lunch so that we might be able to share a picnic in the cemetery next door. A very Easter season thing to do.
Socially distanced, but still together.
But still together. We just yell across the gravestones.
Right.
Howdy. We have birthdays this week that we want to celebrate. On May 2nd, Mary Willard is having a birthday.
Today.
Just today. Tomorrow, Dale Thompson is having a birthday. Ben Duff on the 5th. and Yah Ba on the 9th. So happy birthday to all of y'all. I think that's all the announcements we have that are official.
It is.
I would like to thank everyone who was able to join us this morning. Blessings on your week. Blessings on your lives. And blessings on all you do. In the name of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Go in peace.
Amen. Amen.